you have your Bibles, if you would, to turn to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. I certainly wasn't prepared to preach this message. During my devotions time of last week, I was reading through some of the prophets, and I came across Daniel. I was reading through Daniel, and the Lord kind of just spoke to my heart in some areas and kind of just kind of filed away and just kind of went going on, and I was crafting out a message for tonight. And then this afternoon, the Lord wouldn't get this passage out of my heart. And so I started, I need to put some thoughts together here. I just can't just preach something without having some notes. And so I don't worry, I've got, 25 pages of notes. And so I'm really ready to go tonight. But I tell you what, I know your phones are going off. The emergency alert. Okay, I just want you to know, I just checked outside. All right, there's no flood coming. All right, so don't worry about that. And there might be an emergency alert there that says, pray for me, okay? But I'm looking forward to some of the thoughts and lessons that I just kind of learned myself. I pray that be a help and encouragement to you in your Christian walk. Let me encourage you to be in prayer for your pastor. And while he's away, I know you do that, but really just pray that God would just give him the rest and the renewal and just the focus as we approach, the fall season. It's hard to say fall season. We're in the middle of summer right now. Before the fall season, it's a real busy time. It's a outreach time and a time that as a church we want to make a big impact in our community with the cause of Christ and with the wonderful message of Christ. And I know Pastor carries those messages very heavily each and every Sunday, and so we need to just pray for them and ask Lord just to guide and direct. And I'm so thankful that we have a pastor that takes preaching very seriously, and he studies and prepares, and guess what, we all benefit because of that. And when we come to church, guess what, we get filled up, and what a joy for that. If you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter 3, why don't we stand together as we honor God's word. Daniel chapter number 3. And look at verse number 14. We'll pick the story up there. Daniel 3 and verse number 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I've made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that he should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see a fourth man loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is the Son of God. Can we do this? Can we just all turn our phones off? Because I don't think that will work if the phones are turned off. Brother Christensen told me that. So if you take a moment, just turn your phones off. I think that's the devil trying to send a message to each of us that there's a flash flood warning, okay? It's not even raining outside, all right? So please take your phones and turn them off. And if you allow me to do that, because it's kind of distracting to me, I'm not sure if it's to you. But if you take a moment to do that, and I promise if there's a flood, our ushers will come in and tell us, okay? All right, let's pray together. Father, we do want to thank you for this moment, and I pray, Father, that you'd bless our time around your word. And I know the devil wants to hinder us from hearing what you'd have for us. And so, Father, even cell phones could be a distraction. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord, just to focus and to heed and to hear what you'd have us. And I pray that we would allow these three young men, three teenagers, to influence us today. Thank you for the courage that they displayed and how they stood. And they did not bow. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts now. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. When you read that story in Daniel chapter number 3, I just kind of stand back and I listen to it and I read it and I try to soak it in. And I just say, wow, what an amazing story. And amazing, listen, and it's true. You know, a lot of times you'll hear something maybe on the news or through the internet, and you wonder, okay, is that true? Is that real? Did they just kind of put that together and kind of make it look like it was real? But I tell you what, it's in the book. And it's real. What an amazing story. It is true. And as I was reading this last week, I was just overwhelmed with just the thought about what these men did and how they just took a stand. Now, for the next 6-7 minutes, if you allow me just to kind of set the background, okay? And then what I want to do then is just share 5 takeaways that life builders, I pray that will help each and every one of us in our Christian journey. So as we think about just the setting of the book of Daniel, now think about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel at this time is divided into 2 kingdoms. You have the northern kingdom and you have the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom would consist of 10 of the tribes of Israel. The northern kingdom was already conquered by Assyria in 722 BC. Now the southern kingdom consisted of only 2 tribes, and that was Judah and Benjamin. Now the southern kingdom is being conquered at this time in the writing of Daniel by the Babylonian Empire. Now, the conquering of the southern kingdom was accomplished by 3 attacks by the Babylonian army in 605 BC, 597 BC, and also 586 BC. Now, during the first besiege there in 605 BC is when Daniel chapter 1 is taking place. And in that first besiege, what they did, they took all the maybe university students that were the up-and-coming stars and the ones that had the great minds of science and wisdom. And they took those that were part of the royal family. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a plan as they went into Judah to just capture the brightest and the smartest and the elite of their day. And they brought them back into captivity in Babylon. And then they just kind of spoiled them. But we know that in Daniel chapter 1, we hear about Daniel, how he purposed in his heart that he would not defile of his body with the king's meat and the king's drink. He said, we're not going to defile our bodies with what you're offering to us. Can we just stay to our dietary laws that we adhere to? And so they kind of gave him the green light and said, sure, go ahead. So we see Daniel chapter number 1 about that early besiege and the taking away of the royalty and the up-and-comers, if you would allow me to say it that way. But then in Daniel chapter 2, we read about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, how many like dreaming? How many dream a lot? Now, my wife dreams every night. I wish I could have some dreams. I was telling Brother J.R. this morning, I said, man, I had a dream about you and your wife and Creed. He said, really, what'd you dream about? I said, I don't know. I said, it was really quick. I saw you in church. I said hi to you. And that was it. That was my dream. Now my wife has all these crazy dreams where she flies. And I said, man, I wish I could have a dream like that. Wouldn't it be cool to fly? And she all she's crazy stuff. And I'm not sure why. But Nebuchadnezzar had this crazy dream. And he wanted an interpretation of his dream. So he called his counselors and the wizards. And he said, now listen, I had a dream and it's frustrating to me. And I want you to tell me what my dream meant to me. And they said, okay, tell us your dream. And he says, no, I'm not going to tell you my dream. And they get all frustrated about saying, no, how can we tell you your dream and the meaning of your dream if you don't let us know what your dream was about? But then they heard about Daniel. And Daniel prayed, and God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel. And Daniel stood before the king and began to describe the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And talked about this image of, you know, the head of gold and the chest of, and the arms of silver and the stomach and the thighs of brass and then also the feet of clay and iron. Of course, now we know that that represented different times in history and the different powers that represent world powers. Of course, the head of gold represent Babylon, the chest and arms of silver represent Persia, and the stomach and the thighs of brass represent Greece, and then the feet of iron and clay represent the Roman Empire. And so Daniel began to tell them about this dream and what it represented. Now, based on that, now we transition to Daniel chapter 3. Now, remember the dream. He had the head of gold, and Daniel said, now Nebuchadnezzar, that represents your empire. You're the head. And then from that, based on that revelation of Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar regarding the dream, Nebuchadnezzar now builds this big image. And Brother Halkel, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about between 90 and 100 feet tall in height and about 9 to 10 feet wide. And it was probably made of wood with light golden over it. And they began to worship this image. Now think about this image. And this image represented, how about this? How about one world religion? Hey, let's all come together and let's worship this image together. And guess what? The image represented who? The king. Hey, come worship me. Now there's three that heard the decree that went out and said, now listen, when you hear the music play, you're all supposed to bow down and worship this image. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they heard the decree that was passed. They heard that it was announced, and it went off through the cell phones, an emergency alert, and went out and said, hey, listen, when the music plays, you all bow down and worship it. Otherwise, listen, your life's going to be taken. So what happened? The music played. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood. And there's some people that noticed that. And so they kind of went back to the king and said, hey, king, listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Jews, listen, when the music played, they didn't bow. And so the king brought those three men to him. And that's where we kind of pick up our story here in Daniel chapter number 3. And how I sense that Nebuchadnezzar is kind of giving them maybe a second chance to, you know, to compromise. And guess what? They wouldn't. I hear the rain now. All right, if you want to turn your phones on, go ahead, all right? So we're going to flood. Brother Huckle, build the ark, okay? My wife did tell me, why don't you preach that message that pastor preached several years ago about Noah? You know, that 8-minute one. And here it is. We're going to do it, okay? And so we have how Nebuchadnezzar was trying to get these guys to compromise. And he said, now listen, you know what? The decree was passed, and that when you hear the music, you got to bow down, you got to worship me. And they said, we knew. We know that. But king, we're not going to bow. We're going to stand for our God. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to share with you this evening just 5 lessons that we can, that I think could help each and every one of us regarding our Christian life. The first lesson is this. We see that these three men demonstrated devotion to their creator. They demonstrated devotion to their creator. Look at verse number 14. Where the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the music, okay? He says, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall be able to deliver you out of my hands? These three young men had a devotion to their creator. I wonder, what would it take for us to bow down to the images of this world? Now, just think for a moment. What would it take for us to bow down to the image? Oh, how about overtime? How about being transferred to a different location because I would make a dollar more an hour? Now just think about what, you know, there's no golden image that we're going to worship to, but I think there might be something we might live for right here. And this dictates to so many of us what we do and what we don't do in life. So in one sense, many times what we do is we bow down to the almighty dollar. And we allow this dollar to dictate to us what we do and what we don't do. I mean, one good little side note is this, is are we honoring the Lord with his first fruits? God's blessed us all, but God just asks us to honor him. And so we think about this. You know, sometimes it might be sports, what we worship, or you just fill in the blank there. But here we find that these three young men, they were devoted to their creator. When Nebuchadnezzar says you have to bow down to this image, I wonder if Exodus chapter 20 came into their mind. Where the Bible says, and God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is that in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I wonder how many times maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's dad sat there in their living room and opened up and shared with them the Ten Commandments. I wonder how often that daddy sat with their kids and said, hey, listen, let me teach you some things that I learned that I want to help you, that will govern your life and help you when you have to make decisions in that pressure-packed moment. And when that came in the life of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, guess what? They didn't bow, but they stood. Now I wonder how many of us, that because the Word of God is hidden in our heart, that we will stand and we won't bow. It's important that as we allow the Word of God really to permeate into our lives and into our hearts so that we will be a people that is governed by the Word of God. Are you devoted to your Creator tonight? You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me. Tonight, are you following the Lord? Are you walking in his steps? Are you pursuing him? Have you spent time with him today? Have you talked to him today? How was your devotional life last week? Listen, we're not going to have that strength, that energy, the power to stand if we're not feasting upon the Word of God. If we're not spending time in our prayer closet and asking God and depending upon God and saying, Lord, I need your strength today. Lord, I need your help today. Listen, if we're not spending time with God, listen, we all will bow. Our strength doesn't come from us. It's not by my spirit, but it's by his spirit.
We got to trust in the Lord. We got to depend upon the Lord. And these three young men, they were devoted to their Creator. Oh, I think what Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Wow. There's devotion. For me to live, fill in the blank. What do you live for? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Colossians chapter number 3, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ within God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Over and over again, we see that as believers, that we need to be devoted to our Creator. Lord, I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my might. And Lord, I want to live for you. Devotion. How's your devotion tonight? Are you devoted to Him? Listen, if you're not, you won't stand. You'll bow down. But now we see they had devotion. But then second of all, we see demonstration of courage. Demonstration of courage. Look at verse number 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king.'" Now these men were being disrespectful, but they had already decided that there was only one that they're going to bow down to. And it wasn't the golden image. It was to their God. And you know what Southern California needs? You know what the Antelope Valley needs? It needs men and women tomorrow morning that will just demonstrate Christian courage and will stand in the workplace tomorrow morning. Now, I'm not talking about being crude or overbearing or argumentative. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about taking a stand. I'm talking about not being ashamed that you're a follower of Christ. I'm talking about willing to bring your Bible to work. I'm talking about when it's lunchtime, as you sit there with your friends, say, "Hey, do you mind if I have a word of prayer and pray for your food?" I'm talking when someone comes to you and says, "You know what, my marriage is struggling," and instead of kind of agreeing with them, say, "Hey, I want to pray for you." I'm not just talking about demonstrating the courage to live and to be a Christian. I wonder tonight, do your co-workers know that you're a believer? Do they know that you're a follower of Christ? Don't be ashamed who you belong to. Don't be ashamed. Growing up, we didn't have much in our home. And I kind of looked at other families on our block, and it seemed like they had so much. We had so little. I remember as a little boy kind of being ashamed. Didn't have the nice gym shoes. Didn't have the nice clothes. Didn't have the nice bikes. Didn't have the nice toys. We didn't have that family setting where mom and dad were all together. My dad never coached my baseball team. My mom was never one of our team sponsors. And I always thought, you know, boy, I'm missing out. Look at all my other friends. They you know, their dads were the coach. And you know, it seemed like they just had everything. It seemed like, you know, like, boy, I was ashamed. May we never be ashamed of our Lord and Savior. Amen. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The demonstration of courage that these young men had. The third life lesson is this. We see the dependence despite the circumstances. Dependence despite the circumstances. Look in your Bibles again, verse 17. "And if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." I love this little phrase. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I don't know about you, but I can identify with that. Hey, my God's able. But if not, they didn't know how this was all going to pan out. But they knew one thing. They were devoted to one. But they had that dependence despite of the circumstances. They trusted in their God. I wonder tonight, who are we trusting in? Who are we depending upon? Are we looking to ourselves? Are we looking at what we can do? Are we relying upon, you know, hey, let's do it? No, we got to depend upon God Almighty. Psalms 25, verse number 2, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed." In Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever." Why? "For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." I love Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, trust in the Lord, the direction of our trust. Who are you looking to? Where are you looking to? Can I say this? Look upward. Trust in the Lord. That's where our direction is. Lord, my trust is in you. But then he says, and we see with all thine heart, we see the degree of our trust. You know, sometimes, you know, we'll trust a little bit. Abby, can you come up here for a minute? Come here, Abby. This is my granddaughter. She's got a wedding dress on ready. Can you believe it? Abby, how you doing?
Good.
Good? Can you do me a favor? Why don't you come over here? Do you trust Poppy?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Why are you biting your nails? You getting nervous?
No.
No? Okay. We didn't practice this. Oh. Can you stand up there? Okay. All right. Now, Abby, I'm going to let go, and I want you to jump to me, okay? All right? Ready? Jump. Whoa! Good girl. Yeah. You see? All you little five-year-old boys, keep your eyes off of that girl, would you? You know what? She trusted in her puppy. I did that same thing to our son, Jacob, when he was about 4 years old. He was on the landing of our stairs, and I said, "Jacob, jump." And he jumped. I didn't catch him. For some reason, I thought it'd be pretty cool just to watch him hit. I mean, Jacob was kind of tough. You know, I was toughing him up. I didn't want to raise some wimpy, soft young man. I said, "Jump, Jacob." He jumped, and boom. I said, "You know," he was in shock. Now, some of you wonder, man, no wonder he's crazy. Yeah. So guess what I did? I picked him back up, and I put him on the stair right there, and I said, "Jacob, jump." Guess what? He didn't jump. You know why? He didn't trust me. Hey, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let me ask you, is there an area of your life where you're not trusting the Lord in? With all thine heart. Not a portion. Not half, not three quarters. But all thine heart. Lord, I'm trusting all in you. The degree of your trust. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Listen, these three young men, they were trusting. They didn't know the outcome. They just knew one thing. They're devoted to their Creator. They were demonstrating courage. And their dependence was upon Him. Hey, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, He's going to deliver us anyway because we're going to be with Him. And it says, and He shall direct thy paths, the delight of our trust. These men didn't know what was going to unfold, but they were going to keep trusting in their Lord. Number four, the fourth lesson, deliverance through commitment. Now think about this. Look at verse 21. Now the king was very irate. He was angry to the point that he said, heat up that furnace seven times than it's ever been heated up. So it was smoking hot. Verse 21, these men, and he called his army, you know, his Green Beret, and he got them together, said, bound up these three men and toss them in that fiery furnace. Look at verse 21 now. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see a fourth man loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Deliverance through their commitment. Think about this. Their deliverance came immediately. But they were able to experience this deliverance because they embodied unshakable commitment in their God. Now, at times, we may not be immediately delivered from our trials, our difficulties, our heartaches. But let me ask you a question. Is your commitment shakable? These men had unshakable commitment. Paul said this, for I am now ready to be offered, and a time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Paul says, I'm ready. I've run my race. And then number five, the fifth lesson is this that I see in this passage. We see dedication produced change. Now think about, look at verse number 28. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 26, he goes to the mouth of the fiery furnace, opens it up, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they come walking out. You know, it's amazing when you read this story, listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, nowhere in this passage of Scripture does it indicate that they saw that fourth man walking in the fire. So we may not, we wonder, you know, where's the Lord in this? And we may not sense it, we may not feel His presence, but can I tell you something? He's there. He is in the midst of your fire, even if you don't see it, God is there. In verse number 28, the Bible then says, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed, look at the change here, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yield their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. The question is simply this. Do we want to change our world? That's kind of big, isn't it? Hey, let's change our state. That's even hard. How about our valley? Kind of getting our arms around that. But how about this? How about your family? How about this, even closer? How about yourself? How about you? And how about me? We could be changed. I don't know if we can put all those 5 points up there. Can you, Brother Andrew, look at them real quick? Devotion to your Creator. Let me ask you, are you devoted to Him? Do you have a time and a place that you'll meet Him tomorrow morning? It all starts there. Number two is this. Demonstration of courage. Listen, that demonstration, that outflow of courage came because they were devoted. Number three is this. Dependence despite of their circumstances. They were dependent upon God. Lord, you can deliver us, but if not, listen, we're not going to bow. Number four. Deliverance through commitment. God sees your commitment. And I believe this with all my heart. God then sees, God begins to work and begins to deliver. And number five, we see the dedication produces change. Never underestimate how God can use your devotion to change the mind and the directions of others. Last statement that I'll make tonight is simply this. If you desire to stand for your Savior, and if you will stand for your Savior, you must be willing to bow down before Him.